Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com. Robin Hood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, everybody. I'm Meg Schur, the director of the David M. Hunt Library in Falls Village. I'm here with Leslie Battis, the assistant director of the Norfolk Library. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
I'm really excited about our topic for today because we were talking about fundraising for libraries, and I know each library does it differently, but if I'm Leslie, I want to make sure I'm not incorrect in saying that both of our libraries are association libraries, not municipal libraries, correct?
That is correct.
Great. So the biggest distinction around association and municipal libraries is that municipal libraries are part of the towns in which they serve or the communities that they serve, and often their entire budget is provided by the town. It's part of a town budget. So for the Norfolk Library and the David M. Hunt Library, the town provides a portion of our budget. In our case, it's about a little over 30%, and we've gotten a big bump in our town grant in the last few years, and we've been very grateful for that and the support of our town. But that leaves a big chunk of our budget to come from different places. In our case, it's namely the endowment and donations and fundraising events. Leslie, how does that work for you guys?
We receive very little monetary support from the town. We receive a lot of other support from the town government, but we receive, I think it's, you know, several thousand dollars from the town government. And the rest we cover, as you said, with our endowment and with our fundraising. And for us, the fundraising is about 15% of our operating expenses that are covered by fundraising. Mm-hmm. So each year we need to raise around $110,000, $120,000, and most of that is done through an annual appeal, as many other libraries do.
Right.
The annual appeal is carried out by the Board of Trustees, and that covers about 10% of our operating expenses, which
wow.
is, we're, as I said, the town government doesn't support us much, but the town,
the townspeople,
tremendously support and love the library, for which we are so grateful. And we try to build very good relationships, and you know, everything you do, I think, contributes to that, because the people, when they get that appeal, they remember the great customer service or the books that they read or the programs that they came to.
Right.
And all of that helps them remember how much they love the library and how much they would like to support it.
Right.
And the other part is that we have the Library Associates, which is kind of like a friends committee. And they do most of the fundraising outside of the annual appeal, and that raises about 5% of our operating budget. And the huge amount of that comes from our annual book sale at the end of August. And that brings in usually over $20,000.
Wow.
It's an absolute, yeah, it's a
That's
huge.
That's amazing.
It is. It's a huge, monumental undertaking. And it's kind of year-round because the staff, such as myself, we accept the donations year-round. And we have a little window, and people put their boxes, and they go down the chute into the basement. And then the sorters, even in the wintertime when it's cold down there, the sorters are down there emptying the boxes and saying, oh, this is a mystery. This is travel. This is children's, whatever. And then the event itself is, this year, it's August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And that's when the books come back out of the basement and under the big tent, and the crowds gather for them.
Right. I can't believe that you guys have enough space in the basement to store all those books year-round. That's incredible.
It's really, we take pictures when we're full, so people almost don't believe us when we say, we can't take your books anymore, which
right.
typically happens at the end of July, and we take pictures to show them, this is what it looks like down there.
Right, like, we actually can't fit any more people. Something I always feel, so we have a monthly book sale at the David M. Hunt Library that's run by our friends group, and our friends group is just called the Friends of the David M. Hunt Library, and they are such an important part of both fundraising in a lot of different ways and also our volunteer base. One of my favorite things about being involved in this library is that we have volunteers who give so joyfully and mm-hmm. so much of their time, and running library events and fundraisers is fun because of the people who do it. And it really has a really great communal atmosphere, and people want to come in, and people who are new to town often come to the library and join friends or volunteer for events because it's such a wonderful way to meet great people. And our Friends of the Library run a monthly book sale on the first Saturday of the month. We just celebrated last year our 40th anniversary of book sales.
Wow, nice.
And we're very lucky to have a space that holds the books all the time. So we have used books in the basement and new books upstairs in our space, which now also accommodates a reading space and quiet workspace, but it's also full of books, which is really wonderful. And our Friends group have a couple of designated fundraisers that they run also. They run our Midwinter's Night in the Village, which happens right around Valentine's Day and is a really lovely music evening with music and readings and a big bread board. They also help run August Fest, which is our big summer fundraiser that happens on the 24th of August this year with beer and brats and live music and an auction that happens on the library lawn. That's a really fun one. And they also help with our tag sale. So the library runs a huge tag sale down the street at the Center on Main. I'm always grateful it's not at the library. on the same weekend of the Falls Village car show. So it's coming right up. I can't believe we're at this point of the summer already. But our tag sale, we accept donations on July 10th and 11th from noon to 5 p.m. at the Center on Main. We'll take anything except for books, electronics, or clothing. And then people come shop for treasures from 9 to 3 on Saturday, July 12th and Sunday, July 13th. And that is a really incredible all-hands-on-deck fundraiser. And people have a really good time. And we get people from the car show in, and it's just a really wonderful event. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention another part of our Friends of the Library, which is our art wall committee. Mm-hmm. And we have an art wall, and when artists sell artwork, a portion of the proceeds comes back to support the library. And that's really incredible. And our most popular art show is our 12 by 12 that happens in December, where, you know, novice artists all the way up to professionals donate either half or all of their works of art, and people flock in and jostle each other to get the art that they want. So that's a really fun one. And we feel really grateful to have a board of directors and volunteers and Friends of the Library who work so hard to make up the, so 55% of our budget comes from donations and fundraising events. It's a huge chunk.
Yes.
And it takes a village to raise all of that money, both through the annual appeal, businesses who support us, individual donors, and an incredible amount of fundraising events.
We also describe the book sale as taking a village because it's not, you know, it's just so many volunteers that are needed for that weekend. And people just love to do it, which is wonderful. As you said, they have a great time. It's kind of a community building event, which is great. And
yeah.
We also have our Associates Art Committee, much like you do. I'm a part of that. And we have monthly art exhibits. And the sales bring in a good portion of money for the library.
Mm.
And it's also a great opportunity for local artists to show their work and for us to host a party every month. So that's
right.
A win-win.
Yeah. And we have this wonderful map exhibit that's coming down today. Scott Reinhard is a cartographer, and we have this great map exhibit. And it's been wonderful to see people who didn't necessarily come for the exhibit getting to engage with art in the library. Right, it's a different way of learning or being educated that you maybe wouldn't expect to get in a library, having the opportunity to engage with all different forms of art. And I really love that.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, Leslie, it's so interesting to learn about how other libraries fundraise, and thank you for sharing all of that information.
Yes, thank you. I found it fascinating to to hear how much you have to raise. That's quite an undertaking. So hats off to you and your volunteers.
Well, thank you. I feel very, you know, it's an incredible group of people who help support this library, from mm-hmm. donors to volunteers to friends to board members, and we couldn't do it without all of them.
Yes.
Shifting gears a little bit, Leslie, I'm curious to hear what you've been reading.
Well, I just finished a book that I enjoyed. It's called The Eight by Joanna Miller. It's a historical fiction set in 1920 in Oxford, the college, the university. It's the first time that women were allowed to study for a degree. Before that, they could study, but they couldn't get a degree, which I didn't realize.
Wow.
And there's probably many reasons why this 1,000-year-old institution would suddenly decide to let women matriculate, but one of them was the lack of men after the First World War.
Oh,
so it was in part an economic decision to bolster their enrollment, and also a social decision, because with a generation of men that were almost wiped out, England had a surplus of women, and they needed to be able to support themselves.
Right.
So it was, whatever the reason, it was a huge step forward for women's rights, and also I thought a very interesting read. And I thought of you, Meg, because my daughter is listening to Everything is Tuberculosis by John
Green. Oh, she must be. I'm on the hold list for that, and I'm like 75th in line.
And she found it. I mean, she came back from a trip telling me all about this book, and she was so fascinated by it. So I read it, and I have to say it is fascinating and frustrating at the same time. Mm. But I know you do like to listen to nonfiction.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, because we have the paper copy here, and I've been debating whether or not I want to wait. But there's so much good fiction out right now to read that I am having trouble not bringing home three books every day.
I know.
Speaking of new fiction, I just read, have you ever read anything by Kevin Wilson, Leslie?
Yes, I have.
So he has a new one called Run for the Hills.
Yes.
And I love him. I just find his writing so playful, but he really does delve into relationships and emotions in kind of a playful way that I enjoyed. So this one is about a woman who works on a farm with her mom, and her dad had left them at some point, and this guy shows up at her house and says, we have the same dad, he left us too, and there are more of us. And so they embark on this sibling road trip across the country to find their other half-siblings and eventually confront their father. And each sibling is so different. And the personalities are wonderful. They're all stuck in a car together. They're sharing hotel rooms. And you get to learn the father had such different personalities in each family. He really reinvented himself each time, different name, different occupation. And so them sharing these, you know, what was your dad like? Who was your, it is, I really enjoyed it. It was a family saga in a way that I've never experienced before. And I really enjoyed it.
That's impressive that he was able to do that, by the way.
I know. I was thinking that, too. And when they find him at the end, it's, I found it to be a very heartwarming tale. And, you know, I think one of the morals that comes out of the book is that, you know, you get to build your own family, right? So these siblings get to, eventually by the end, they realize, like, we have each other and we get to build this family together. And they see it as such a positive outcome of this adventure that they're on.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
good for
it was
them.
Nice to read something uplifting.
Yes.
And my nonfiction audiobook this month was Spare by Prince Harry, which, you know, came out a couple of years ago, and I'm not usually one who's into the royals, but I found this to be fascinating.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and it's 17 hours long, so it's a commitment. And he reads it, so you get to hear his voice the whole time. And, you know, he really covers the whole thing from his mother's death through his army service and him and Meghan and the falling out with the royal family. And it was it humanized him for me in a way that I didn't expect.
Very good. I knew it was a big case when it was CD. So
yes. Oh, yes. It's a big one. Leslie, what are the most requested books at your library in the recent past?
Our books with the most holds right now are both nonfiction, which is unusual for
us. That is interesting.
Yes, I thought it was. The first one is A River Alive by Robert McFarlane.
That's one of ours also.
Oh, interesting. And the other one is Careless People by Sarah Wynne Williams. How about you?
So we have Is the River Alive, and the other one that's most requested, and I was glad to give me a different opportunity to talk about it because it's also one of the favorite books that I've read recently, is The River is Waiting, the new Wally Lamb.
Oh, yes.
So we have a pretty significant list for the new Wally Lamb, and I, you know, one of the nice things about being as a librarian is I got to read it first, and I read it very quickly. And, you know, Wally is such a masterful writer, and I would give anyone a little bit of a content warning. This book is dark and very intense, and if you are looking for something lighthearted, don't read it right now. But it is wonderful, and he really delves into prison life, which is something that he has spent a lot of time doing writing workshops in at the York Correctional Institute, which is actually really close to where I grew up.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so he has a take on prison life in a way that I think a lot of people don't, and I highly recommend it. But you got to be ready for it. I think
yes.
I was not quite ready, and it surprised me at the beginning because I didn't know anything about it. But he is an incredible writer, and it is a worthwhile book for sure.
Very good. The books that were had the most holds were not the most ones that had the best circulation.
Oh, interesting.
I know. So I will just mention that The Fisherman's Gift by Julia Kelly was the one with the most circulations this month. And I've heard people tell me, this is such a good book, you should read it. But then, of course, it's just flying out to someone else. So
right.
I haven't
can't
read
keep it
yet.
On the shelf.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think we have that one. I'll have to check it out. Leslie, what events are coming up at your library?
Well, we have a full slate of events, as I'm sure you do also.
Yes.
On Saturday, July 12th at 5 o'clock, we have an author talk by Sister Monica Clare, who will talk about her book, A Change of Habit. She is a nun at the Community of St. John Baptist, which is an Episcopal religious order in New Jersey, and she became a nun in 2012.
Wow.
Before that, she worked as a photo editor in Los Angeles. And then once she became a nun, she eventually started a TikTok account. And it was, you know, the goal was to make people laugh and demystify the life of an Episcopal nun. But it was a huge success and continues to be. So she has written this book, and we are fortunate enough to have her here to do a talk and signing.
Oh, I'm so bummed that I can't come to that because those kind of memoirs are my favorite, and we have an art show that night that conflicts, but I was so excited to see that on your social media.
Yes. Well, hopefully you'll get to read the book.
Yes.
And then on Tuesday, July 22nd at 5 p.m., we have a program called Music and Art Festivals in New England. And we'll have Melvin Chen, who is the director of the Norfolk Chamber Music Festival, and Vin Cipollo, who is the president of Historic New England, who is the sponsor of the event. And they'll talk about the tradition of these festivals in New England and what the institutions are doing to bring in new and younger audiences while sustaining the missions and their current audiences. Should be a very interesting talk.
Yeah, that's cool. And I see that you've been doing some cool, sorry, I might throw you off your list here. You've been doing some really great kids programming on Monday nights.
Yes, we have. And we have a couple that are coming up. Our Erica Crowfoot is doing umbrella painting. That will be very popular. And the one that's, I think, really popular right now for signups is the Lego Vehicle Challenge.
Oh, cool.
And that's with the Children's Museum, and they build a vehicle based on a certain, you know, set of guidelines from the museum. But I just think there'll be a lot of Lego cars racing around the library, personally.
I bet. We just had Erica here yesterday doing plywood bugs, which was really awesome. And if you drive by the library, you can see them decorating the garden and the lawn. And we were talking about the umbrellas and how excited she was to do that with you guys.
That's great. We have one a little different event for us, which is that on Wednesday, July 23rd at 7 p.m., we will be screening Jaws. in celebration of its 50th anniversary.
Cool.
So we're showing the film during Shark Week. And if you're not familiar with it, it's a week-long event on the Discovery Channel that started out as a way of talking about conservation and knowledge about sharks. But I learned that it's been the longest-running cable television programming event in history. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
And I've never seen Jaws, so I will be the one there showing it.
Oh, good. So you'll get to see it. I don't think I've seen it either. I think it would make me too nervous.
I know. I'm sure that's why I have never seen it. So what about you, Meg? What fun things do you have coming up?
So we have some great kids programming. We have the Wizard School of Magic next Tuesday, July 8th at 3:30, which is going to be really fun. Brittany's running a fossil dig. She got a box of fossils. It was a really fun thing to arrive in the mail. So July 10th at 3:30, we'll be doing the fossil dig. And then we have a bunch of concerts happening at the library that I'm really excited about. We partner with the Rec Commission in Falls Village to offer lawn concerts during the summer. So Johnny Gersauskas, who runs the Millerton Music Center and was born and raised in Falls Village, will be joining us on July 11th at 6 p.m. It's a Friday. People are welcome to bring drinks and snacks and picnics and a chair and a blanket and come listen to live music. And we're only doing two this year. And August 8th, we do a community open mic. And last year, I was so delighted by how, as the evening continued, kids and adults felt more and more willing to get up and share different things.
Oh, nice.
And it was really wonderful. You know, we had a 5-year-old reading his popsicle stick joke, right? But they wanted to participate, and I felt like we were doing it right, when people want to get up there and share.
Exactly.
And then on the 12th, which is why I can't come to the Nun, which Ingrid Friedenberg will be on the art wall and will be celebrating her collage show from 5 to 7 p.m. on July 12th. So that should be really lovely. And Ingrid's stuff is fabulous. And
I love collage.
Yeah, you should come check it out.
She's going to be
there. We usually run for about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a busy summer. You know, we have kids programming happening every week. Story time at 10:30. They're playing Red Light, Green Light when I came upstairs. And it's a busy place. And, you know, I'm sure this is true for you, too. We have air conditioning. And so people have been starting to take advantage more of having a cool place to hang out. And I love that.
Yes, it's very nice to see that people feel comfortable enough to come in during a heat wave or any day, really, that's too warm and settle in and read or work. And I just find that heartwarming, I guess.
Me too. Well, Leslie, this was such a lovely conversation today.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. Enjoy your busy schedule events, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Great. Thanks, Leslie.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut. Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com.